This is the O Review Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the second ever O Review Podcast. I'm Tim, O Review named Sparrow. And if you've never been to the O Review before, if you've got this from iTunes, then do check out the website at o-review.com, where we've got a plethora of Oakley information. Anything and everything you could ever want to know about Oakley is on there, so do check it out. Coming up this month, we've got a packed podcast for you. Thanks so much for the contributions, everybody. We've got the latest Oakley news. This month, it's on the RX models. Plus, we have news on the opening of the Montreal O Store and news of the new O Store in Paris. We also have a great review of the Oakley Spike, as well as Retro Region. This month, Lee and Phil are looking at the Zero range of sunglasses by Oakley. And our big feature this month is a Q&A with the creator of the O Review. Yes, that is the big man himself, Dan. He will be answering your questions that you sent in via the forum at o-review.com. And obviously, we have much more besides. Anyway, let's move straight along. Here is the latest Oakley news with Bong.
This is the O Review.
On this month's portion of Oakley News, we have a new spring line of prescription eyewear frames.
For the new prescription RX frames, the focus is on physics elevated to an art form, a combination of fashion design and technology where form and function are seamlessly integrated. Offered in Oakley's ultra-lightweight X-Metal Titanium Alloy frames, the chisel line of eyewear are offered in two lens configurations, the rectangular chisel 2.0 and a larger trapezoidal chisel 4.0. Both feature linear temples of sculptural metal and are styled with channel details and inlaid icons. A comfortable, secure fit is maintained by piston spring hinges and, of course, Oakley's unobtainium ear socks. Color choices for the chisel 2.0 are offered in pewter, polished black, polished brown, and polished gold, while the chisel 4.0 in titanium, brown chrome, black chrome, and polished midnight. Offered in Oakley's heat-adjustable all-matter lightweight synthetic frames, both the edgy gasket and a female-specific sweeper feature bold, expressive styling with sculpturally beveled temples, topped off with true metal icons and integrated with C5 alloy hinges. The sweeper adds a distinctive look with a contrasting second layer of color, creating a unique look to the frames. The gasket is available in black, brown tortoise, dark blue, and olive tortoise, while the sweeper in black marble, dark caramel, pink latte, and plum. Following the open-edge architecture of Oakley's rimless frames, the soft tail, available in berry, black, honey, and olive, debuts with the company's patent-pending rimless mounting technology, where durability is optimized with minimal hardware at the lens's attachment points, creating a look where the lenses seem to float between sculptural all-metal mounts with sleek linear all-matter ear stems. Because the soft tail is a rimless design, the look can be further customized with an option of 17 different lens shape configurations. As with all Oakley's RX frames, each will come with a metal torpedo case included. Reactions for all four frames have been generally favorable on the O Review forum, and are welcome additions to Oakley's ever-expanding prescription RX lineup. Of course, you can check out all the details and images of these new items in the catalog section at o-review.com.
Many thanks for that, Bong, and those glasses all sound very, very good to me, so do check them out on the website. Okay, also this month we've got news on openings of O stores around the world. This month we're looking at Paris and Canada. So let's jump straight in. Here is a release we've had about the O store in Paris, courtesy of Oakley Europe. We are pleased to announce the opening of the first Oakley shop in Paris. Located in one of the most dynamic districts of the capital, the opening of this new O store on March the 4th marks a further expansion and development of the brand worldwide. The franchisee has been a client of Oakley for many years and is opening the first shop in France. He said, "I saw very quickly that Oakley had the production capacity needed to create numerous product ranges based on their immense success in the market for sunglasses. It's the coherence between the different product lines that makes our clients as enthusiastic about the brand and as loyal to it as I am. I'm proud that Oakley has the confidence in me today to be their flag bearer. This new store is a unique chance for the French sales team. We will finally benefit from an ideally located shop with exclusivity of our products. It is a great opportunity for us to show in this country the whole range of Oakley products." So there you go. Good to see that Oakley is expanding across the world with their O stores. And thanks to Fred, O Review name American Image, for that press release. Now, Oakley have also just opened their O store in Montreal, Canada. And Alex, a review named Freach, actually works at the store. And he's written us a great piece on all the behind-the-scenes stuff going on at the store and just about the store in general. So here we go. O review. On March 10th, 2006, at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, the Montreal O store, second in Canada, opened on St. Catherine Street. With a store that is three times bigger than the one in Toronto, the hopes were high and success was really promising for the new team. Up until very late on March the 9th, things were still being polished here and there, and then the new staff had a complete store orientation, followed by a staff dinner in downtown Montreal. A store of such size was expected to take full advantage of its physical assets, and it sure has been displayed right off the bat. A wall-long display of the men's collection is on one side, and another wall-long display of women's line on the other, to which were added many racks and tables to accentuate the emphasis on women. Both collections are brand new, and most of the lines cannot be found in any other store, this being the case for most of the spring until early summer. Most shirts, t-shirts, vests and fleeces are offered in around three different colours, with the remaining colours to be shipped by mid-April. New store, new look and attention was paid to many details in the construction of the store, all the while keeping in mind the philosophy of the company and of its retail stores, industrial look with a strong fashion and trendy influence. Behind the counter, you will see a humongous poster of an athlete sporting a cinder red oil drum, a definite statement of where the company is going with its new line of sunglasses. Same goes for the three women's mannequins right at the entrance of the store. They are dressed in such a way that it makes you wonder, is Oakley still in sports? But this doubt is quickly wiped away when you walk in and find yourself surrounded by four double-wide towers and one women's tower. At the back of the store, we have the footwear and bag section, where we find a small lounge with three couches and a table facing towards a 44-inch flat-screen television, playing snowboard, ski, surf and wakeboard movies all day long. It's a really nice touch to the store, and makes it very cool and welcoming. It's a great little spot for a guy to wait for his girlfriend to try on stuff. At the cash desk, the counter itself is gigantic, again very industrial looking, the same dark grey and black colour as the stretch towers, for example. Here again, following the tradition, either side of the counter has clear tops displaying lanyards, wallets, keychains, stickers and wristbands. The store also has six in-wall towers, one for stretch sunglasses, one for MX goggles, one for golf and cycling specific sunglasses, one for stretch and women's sunglasses and two for women's sunglasses and accessories. That's on top of the women's tower, which has all colours of the three new models, Script, Grapevine and Dart, along with a white and G30 dartboard L and crosshair, and white and brown gradient riddle, etc. These in-walls give a really interesting touch to the store, and it saves space that would otherwise be occupied by towers. On the note of women, the open, no locked front door and no door at all on the front of the cabinet design makes it very inviting to try them on, and so far they have been a huge success, with many pairs of Script and Darts especially sold in the first 3 days of opening. In terms of sunglasses, like in apparel, not all colour combinations have been in yet. Basically, we have a bit of everything, but an order on specific models and colours was sent out to Canadian HQ on Monday morning. By me, I made the order of what we should order, since my manager has put me in charge of determining what we need, how we need to display things in store. Basically, he gave me a very nice retail marketing and merchandising responsibility, which I'm really excited about, and it should be in the store early next week, hopefully in time for the official media opening on the 22nd of March. We do, however, have all the new releases such as 5V.0, Oil Drum and the TLA Whisker in all possible colours and polarised versions as well. The store has experienced a very busy crowd this weekend, as it has been packed for 3 days straight, even though no publicity was done whatsoever, except for me at my school. The great look and excellent location of the store is what makes it really appealing, and many curious people just dropped by and left the store with an Oakley shopping bag in their hand. Very spacious, very good music, set by Oakley through an iPod that is being updated by marketing people at HQ, who decide what is Oakley music. The iPod is then plugged into our Bose sound system, so we can pick songs, but there's only one playlist, albeit a very long one, which is a very good image of the company. The purpose of the postponed official opening is to avoid repeating what happened in Toronto. Minutes before the opening and VIP launch party, handymen were still screwing light bulbs in and fixing walls. Here, especially with a store this size and in a location this crowded, they wanted to make sure they didn't lose face. That's why we're currently getting acquainted with the store itself and the business in general, so that when it comes to March the 22nd, we'll be all set and ready to welcome a much busier clientele, since there's going to be way more traffic in the store. Various athletes and celebrities are also said to be coming to the party that night, and it's supposed to be grandiose. The store will be running during the day, and then at night we will close St. Catherine to reserve the whole lot as parking for our VIPs coming in, and the media of course. A red carpet will be set in front of the store, and rumours are that we will have a little fashion show of our own. More details and pictures to come next week on the O Review. The store staff team is made up of a manager, assistant manager, and 6 salespeople, including myself. Everybody is really motivated and excited about the store and the company itself. We, along with our customers, have full access to a computer that is locked to oakley.ca to browse and look for different colours which we may order directly if we don't have them already. This is another small detail that adds to the store. It is very open. Walking into the store isn't just like walking into any other ordinary clothing or sunglass store. It's an experience. Another detail that you may find interesting is that the 2 dressing rooms are extremely large. Lots of space, lots of hooks equates to lots of potential sales. Here again, we want our customers to be comfortable, not rushed, not pressured. We want our customers that walk around and try on stuff to really feel what the company is all about. Performance, style, science, art, winning, laid back, trendy, unique, and awesome. These are words which come to mind as you walk in the Montreal O store. And that's what Oakley is all about. It's about living the experience. An Oakley store is not something that is found every 4 blocks, especially in Canada. They wanted to make sure that this was successful and special, and they sure did a tremendous job. Especially with the Formula One Canadian Grand Prix coming around in June, the store is going to get tons of customers from all around the world. I know F1 is not big in the USA, but it is in Canada, especially in Montreal. And the main F1 street in Montreal that is well known for being fully booked so that people can party all week long is Crescent Street. The store is located less than 2 blocks away from Crescent Street, and it's going to be amazing. We are really excited. Overall, it has been a very successful underground opening so far, and we are receiving plenty of new stuff starting Wednesday, March the 15th, on until about mid-April, by which time we should have received all of the spring and summer 06 collection. I want to welcome everybody to the Montreal O store. It's on 1230 St. Catherine West, on the corner of St. Catherine and Drummond Street. If you happen to be in the neighbourhood, don't hesitate to come and visit me. It will be a pleasure to serve an O-reviewer. More details to come in the Montreal O-Store update thread in the forum at o-review.com. O-Review. Thank you for that, Freach. Very, very detailed article there. And we've got more from the Montreal O-Store and its official launch in next month's podcast. Okay, as regular listeners to the podcast will know, each month we do a review of one of Oakley's latest releases. Last month it was the 5.3.0, and this month it is the Spike. And thank you very much to Jamie Bishop, O Review name X Metal Man, for this review. Here we go. O Review. First off, the colour combinations. Spike is currently available in light and titanium iridium, chrome and VR28 black iridium, matte black and grey, black chrome and brown gradient, pewter and black iridium polarised, and polished black and VR28 black iridium polarised. In my opinion, the chrome and VR28 black combination is the most appealing, but that's just me. Spike is truly a fashion original, combining Oakley's high-definition optics lens technology with fluid styling that sets it apart from the rest of the pack. The frame is constructed of durable C5 alloy, Oakley's standard material for the wire family. It features linear ear stems, which offer the comfort and performance of Oakley's 3-point fit. The ear stems are also accented by true metal icons. Spike also features lenses just like the gas can, which are 2 lenses cut from a single Polaric ellipsoid shield. They are then mounted in the frame to retain their original position. The lenses feature impact resistance that meets all ANSI Z80.3 standards, like all Oakley lenses. The quality of the construction of the Spike is very good. Although it seems very thin and the hinges are very small, they are a solid pair of glasses perfect for everyday wear. I wouldn't recommend them for sport, but if you're looking for a pair of glasses to cruise the streets in, these are the pair to go with. They are a bit heavy though, so if weight tends to be an issue for your nose, then I wouldn't recommend these for long-term wear. The fit of the Spike is great. They have a slight radius on the end of the ear stems, like crosshair and whisker, to make putting them on more comfortable. They fit a bit wider than Gas Can and Riddle, which is good for those of us with big heads. They fit snug, and once they're on, you won't want to take them off. The look of Spike is, well, un-Oakley. But that's not saying it's bad. They seem to combine the styling of Gas Can with Riddle and 5.3.0. It's a very squarish look, but it's done in very good taste. It has a kind of aggressive look, reminiscent of the Gas Can. Overall, I think Spike is a very well-designed pair of sunglasses, taking the square trend and infusing it with Oakley art and technology. Like Oakley says, there's no difference in the science of vision and the art of style. Spike truly is physics elevated to an art form. O-Review. And don't forget, you can find information on all of the combinations of Spike as well as images in the catalogue section of o-review.com. Okay, now it is time for a regular feature of the podcast. Yes, it is, of course, Retro Region, where we take a step back in Oakley time and have a look at what was going on in Oakley's earlier days. This month, Lee, O-Review named Banano, and Phil, O-Review named King Philbert, have been looking at the Zero range of sunglasses. O-Review. First up, we have the Sub-Zero. In 1992, Oakley introduced the Sub-Zero, or as the catalogue referred to them, a limited selection of next to nothing. Even to this day, they are considered to be one of the most innovative designs Oakley ever produced. So radical from anything else, they featured a one-piece dual-orbital frameless design that incorporated Oakley's patented high-definition optics and plutonite lens material. As the name implies, this was the start of Oakley's new trademark zero-weight philosophy for increased performance and a launchpad for a line of glasses that saw three distinct eras over the past 14 years. Weighing in at 0.69 ounces, one could easily forget you were wearing them, or even if you still had them sitting perched on top of your head, and the pure plutonite lens could still stop a 12-gauge shotgun blast from 15 yards, as well as block all harmful UV and blue light. The original line consisted of 7 Sub-Zero frames, which were numbered 1 through 6, and the specially named N2T, which was the name of the corporation that owns Oakley's jets. Each Sub-Zero had its own number for identification, denoting colour and lens combinations, and not for size or shape variations like later in the Zero family. Towards the end of their life in 1993, frame numbers 2 to 3 were replaced with frames 2N to 3M, which lost the lower orbital to give them rounder lenses. The 2N were replaced with the military in mind, and so were not available for retail at the time. It's amazing to think that Sub-Zero's only lasted 1 year, and what a massive legacy they've left behind. Next, we have the Zero. 1993 saw the release of the Zeros line. These were produced after the Sub-Zeros and provided some really creative and classic Oakley designs. The Zeros continued with the zero-weight marketing that the Sub-Zeros began, claiming these to be as light, if not lighter, than the Sub-Zero line they were replacing. When the Zero family were released, they phased out the Sub-Zero with its number system and replaced it with a new decimalized system. They kept a few of the same color combos from the Sub-Zeros and also added some new funky color combos, like the wildly named Glitter Gold / Gold Iridium, which was named after a famous Las Vegas strip club. The ear stems had improved the three-point fit system with the introduction of fangs, an extended version of the Sub-Zero hammer ear stems that now had the ear stem continue just beyond the ear stock and were designed to add even more flex than the Sub-Zero did for comfort and fit. Each new lens type had its own decimal number that worked the same way as the old Sub-Zero numbering system worked, only the lenses generally got bigger as the number's size increased. When someone talks about the Zero line, they almost always will think of the flamboyant 0.3, with its circular lenses and huge opaque shield underneath the lens to guard against averted light entering the sides. The 0.6 was surprisingly similar to the original Sub-Zero lens shape, although they were a little wider and now came in a range of colours including clear and persimmon. By 1996, the Zero range was slightly modified with the introduction of slightly larger lenses on the 0.1 through to the 0.4 and a redesigned opaque lens shield on the 0.2 and 0.3. Also, the addition of 2 new lens options called the 0.2P and the 0.3P were added, the obvious difference being the opaque lens shields were iridium coated for extra visibility. They also had the first retail laser etching onto the lens that said 0.2P and 0.3P respectively, and these models are valued as the pinnacle of desirability from the whole range of the Zero line for today's collectors. There are even more variations that sprang up, including an N2T version of the 0.6, complete with Planet X extended fan ear stems. Although still having the original Sub-Zero lens, this was more likely an effort to use up surplus parts that never made it to the Sub-Zero line. There are also a lot of logo variations, but more about that next month. And don't forget, you can check out an extended version of that article with lots more facts and pictures in the articles section of o-review.com. Now, next up, it is a very, very special feature for the podcast. It is a Q&A with Dan, the creator of the O Review. We asked you to put your questions to him in the forum of o-review.com. I've compiled them together and I put them to him, so let's hear what he had to say. O Review. Okay, Dan, thanks for offering up to do this. So let's start straight off. Just tell us a little bit about yourself and your family.
I'm 25 years old from Tiverton, Rhode Island. I have a brother and a sister, 2 parents and a wife, and more cats than I know what to do with. For hobbies, I collect Oakley, but I tend to be a pack rat, which of course makes my house very cluttered. In 2001, I received a bachelor's degree in information science. In 2002, I went back to receive the same degree as a master's, but by the time I finished, the degree was gone, so they ended up giving me an MBA. I'm now currently getting my PhD in computer information science, which is probably one of the hardest things I've ever done.
How long have you been into Oakley?
I've been into Oakley since 2002. My first pair was the Ice Splice. I saw my brother have a pair of scars, and I really felt jealous, so I decided, hey, I'm going to get a pair myself. I was actually playing hooky from work at the time, and I was at a picnic with my brother. I saw his pair, and I decided that I had to get a pair myself. So I went right down to the sunglass shop and picked up my first pair. After this, I got a pair of Minutes, but I figured those looked a little too feminine, so I gave those to my sister. My next pair was a leather Mars. I bought a few more pairs after that, but it wasn't until I started the overview that my collection exploded. It went from about 6 pairs when I started to about 77 pairs currently.
Now, a question on everybody's lips. How did the O-Review come about?
Before I started the O-Review, I decided to catalog all the Oakleys that existed. Up until this point, if the model had existed before, but was no longer on the website, it just sort of became forgotten. So I started off taking the most current models and making them into a web page. After that, I did a little bit of research and found a few of the older models. At this point, things like trench coats and top coats were foreign to me, as well as things like Sub-Zeros. And after a while, I was able to find more and more old models to put into the listing. One drawback to the system was that it was all manual, so using this, I then put it into a database, and then wrote a few simple web scripts to put it online. After that, I figured it would be nice to put reviews on them as well. I really didn't think anyone would use it, but shortly after that, I found reviews from people that weren't from myself or my friends. Once I finished most of the glasses, I decided to catalog watches. After watches, shoes. After shoes, accessories. After accessories, apparel. And it just kept going from there. At around this time, I met Eddie and King Filbert, and they helped backlog a few items that I had missed. I then began toying around with the idea of a member section. I wasn't sure if anyone would use it, but I thought it might be nice if people could list their collection. I also decided to add a forum to it. We started off with about 5 members, and today it's grown to about 600. Not all of them are active, though. Despite the forum growing very large, I also continued to add content to the site to make it the best Oakley site ever. Today we have thousands of glasses, watches, apparels, and other things in our database. Each one is reviewable by any member who joins the site, and also by anonymous people.
What are some of the growing pains that the website has experienced so far?
As with any internet site which has many people on it, I want to have a few people that ruin it for everyone. But overall, most of the members on this site have been very professional and good people. You're bound to have a few people that ruin the fun. But overall, most of the members are very professional and also very friendly. I originally wanted to have a no-rules policy, but that's not always feasible. Fortunately, we just have a few guidelines which are usually followed. And for the most part, we don't have much trouble. We did, however, outgrow the work server, and we did have to move to a professional host. Luckily, Jason, aka Longshot, gave us some free hosting.
What are the members like?
We have all sorts of people on the O-Review. They come from every different country in the world, and also from every different background. Most of the people either come from the United States, Australia, United Kingdom, or Canada. Despite having different sized collections, everyone is united in their love of Oakley.
Where do you see the O-Review going in the next 1 to 2 years?
As always, I'm continuing to add content to the site in many different areas. I'm always scouring for new things to add to the database, as well as new content for users who come to the site for the first time. I'm hoping that the forum won't be the main part of the site, and that people will see that there are many other things on the site worth looking at.
Tell us about any contact you might have had with Oakley, if you had any threats, and if they've offered to buy the site from you.
Early on in the site, I was contacted by Oakley, but one of the people who ran the website. It was basically just to see how I found all the information I had on the site. He found it hard to believe that there were so many fans for Oakley. One of the Oakley vaults in California was actually using the site as an official catalog. Not only that, but the warranty department at headquarters also uses this site as its official reference guide. They even direct other people to the site in case they have a question. I've yet to have any offers to sell the site, but I don't plan to do that, as I like to keep this a fan site and have it be owned by everyone. I've also yet to receive any threats, but I'm sure that will come in due time. As for advertising, HDO did offer to do some commission-based work, but nothing really came of that.
What went through your mind when you saw the first review posted?
My first reaction was, I couldn't believe anyone actually found this site, let alone used it. The very first review was actually by myself, and it was on the Cyclops visor. However, the first external review was by Ed, and it was on the polished black half jacket.
How long after the O-Review went online did the forum section appear?
The site went online around May 2004, however the forum didn't appear till around July. Around June-ish I actually made the members section, and it wasn't until later that someone actually suggested having a forum. Now I already had one written for a previous site, so I just sort of implemented it, and it seemed to work fine.
What does your wife and friends think of your Oakley habit?
Well, most of my friends support the habit, and most of them own Oakley too. In fact, they got me into the habit. My wife simply tolerates it, but I did buy her a pair, and she likes them.
Is there any chance you'll shave your beard?
I imagine I'll trim it someday, but Lee and I have a competition going this summer to see who can grow it the longest, so I need my practice.
Did you hide from your wife the fact that so many of the glasses in your once shared collection were actually yours, and what did she say when she found out that so many were yours?
Surprisingly, nothing. I did acquire many pairs throughout that time, but when I brought them all home, she just kind of shook her head and left the room.
What are your thoughts on the review's growth, from originally being amongst your friends to now having an international membership?
At first I really thought it would just be my friends, if that, and I really thought it would just stay small. However, more and more people started joining, and as more people joined, I found more people really embraced this habit we have. I've met many friends along the way, and realized that I'm not alone. I've also had the opportunity to meet several members I wouldn't have normally met otherwise, and they've all been some of the best people I've ever met.
Have you ever regretted starting the review? And if so, how many times?
I've never really regretted starting the review. There have been a few tough times, but really, the members that stand out really make it worth it. However, unfortunately, the prices on eBay seem to have skyrocketed, and I fear that's all my fault. And I'd like to state now that I'm sorry.
In the early days of the Oakley review, the site suffered the wrath of the Oakley legal department regarding Romeo 2 images. Can you elaborate on what happened and why it is so important that we keep everything above board on the Oakley review?
I received an image of the Romeo 2 about a month before it actually came out. It was just an anonymous image, and I did post it into the database for the sake of completeness. However, the Oakley legal department found out about these images and told me to take them off. I took them off the database as well as the forum, and then for some reason I asked them about the rest of the images on the site. This, of course, was a mistake, because they then told me to take off every image. So with 6 months' work down the drain, I did take them off. However, I did put them up a little bit later, but I made it members only so not everyone could see them. But from this point forward, we've been very careful not to post any image that hasn't been released beforehand, and we do enforce this for other members as well.
What made you decide to keep the site free to all members? If it wasn't for our hostmaster, Jason, would the site continue to be free?
Well, I'm not sure anyone would actually pay for the site, plus I wanted to keep it a free resource since I think that would be most beneficial for everyone. Especially since most of the content is owned by Oakley, I wouldn't really feel right charging about it anyway. However, it's nice that we've had free hosting, and if we hadn't had hosting, I may would have asked for some small donations just to cover hosting costs, but thankfully, due to Jason, we are able to host it for free.
If you consider all the time you've put into the AO review, would that have been a decent side job without pay?
Actually, it would, because I've put hundreds of hours into the site, and I do most of that at work, so in theory, I am getting paid for it.
Do you get newer members being appreciative of all the groundwork you've done? If so, in what way?
It's about 50-50 split. I get some people coming to the site and asking questions right away in the forum, where there are many places on the site where the answers could be found. There's a lot of information hidden within the site, so it's no wonder that not everyone can find it. However, from time to time, some people do come to the site and do find this information first, and it's nice to see that they take the time to browse the entire site, given the amount of hours that we've put into it. And it's not just for myself, many people have contributed to the site in some way or another. Whether it's pictures or information, it's all appreciated, and we do hope that more people contribute in the future as well.
Are there any stories of infamy as a result of being the O-Review creator?
One word, Arizona.
And finally, is there anything you'd like to say to everyone about the Oakley Review that wasn't covered?
I would just like to thank everyone who has given the time to listen to this podcast, to post on the forum, and also to look at the site. There's tons of information on the site, and many hours have been put into it. That, and if you do find anything that's out of date or wrong, please feel free to contact us and correct it. We're always looking for more information, so feel free. Again, I'd like to thank everyone, and we hope to continue this site forever and ever.
Many thanks to Dan for taking the time to answer all of those questions. I hope they were informative for you. Very, very good there. Okay, now time for the final feature and a new regular feature of the podcast every month. It is the Oakley Review Trivia Question. Yes, cheesy game show host, here we go. Right, the idea of this is I'm going to ask you a very tricky Oakley-related question. Once you know the answer, all you have to do is send me a message via o-review.com. My O-Review name is Sparrow, so that's where you need to send your guesses to, okay? So the question is, what is the significance of the name 1320? What is the significance of the name 1320? Obviously, the 1320 is a racing shoe by Oakley. So once you know the answer, PM me via the site, and the first person to send me the right answer will get the pride of knowing that they will be mentioned on the podcast as a god of Oakley knowledge next month. Okay, well, that is just about all we have time for on the podcast this month. I hope you've enjoyed it, and do remember to check out the website at o-review.com for loads and loads of Oakley features. And there's a thread now waiting for you in the forum about the podcast. Leave your suggestions, comments and questions in there, and your offers of help for next month, please. Okay, everyone, stay happy, and I will see you again next month. Bye-bye.